All right, Podcastia, you're listening, right? It's Howard Stern here. And I gotta tell you, I mean, Robin, I'm not really into podcasts.
Well, that's like all those people who used to be on cable access. Yeah. They thought they were
on TV. They would pay a company to put my TV. Hey, look, I'm on TV. No, you're not on TV. I mean, yeah, you're on TV, but nobody gives a shit about you.
But Trenton Waves, it's not a podcast. This is a friggin' experience. Frank and Christina Sasso are the best. The best thing since Transcendental Meditation.
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey. With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, butts,
education, talent, events, art.
Of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
Trenton Waves Podcast. Hello, Podcastia. We're back. Another fun-filled show. I'm still trying to recover from Bubba Walsh and Toby from last week. Oh, my gosh.
That was fun.
Here's where I started regretting it immediately.
What?
Star Wars came up. I didn't know how big
I think that needs to be a totally separate show.
Oh, my God.
You need to have Harry, Stacy, Bubba, and Toby all on and just let them fight it out.
Listen, I could barely handle it when it was just Stacy. When we were waiting for Harry to come for the quiz. Just Stacy is a whole show.
I just think it would be fun. And maybe make it be totally chaotic.
I know you don't like the chaos. I don't like chaos.
I love chaos.
I like structure. I like order. I like being in control.
I love it when it goes wild.
Well, you know, I got to say, we were having this discussion the other day about how kids' lives today are so much worse.
I know.
Than ours were. They're not better. They're worse.
The parents always said, we want to make our kids' life better than our life. That was the mantra. You know,
yeah, that was
they
the goal
work
for
hard.
Parents. Right.
They send them to college. They try and get them a nice home.
Right.
And, you know, maybe they buy them a car. It's like, this. I want my child to have a better life than I did. But it's not anymore.
Not.
Now it's gone the other way.
And this social media, sad. It's so ironic because it's so antisocial.
Yes. It's sad.
You're giving people likes and I got so many friends and you got nothing. They're
you
not
got
friends.
Nothing.
You got nothing. And if you were a man, you would have done something. Right.
You got nothing in court. You don't got the bookkeeper. You got nothing. Nothing.
Thank you, Untouchables. There's no contact. There's no conversation. There's like an art to conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids, they don't get it.
Well, yeah. Well, if you go to a restaurant, you can get an idea of like you see either a couple or you see a family.
Right.
And everyone's on their phone.
They're on their phone.
Well, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a teacher still. She said she was watching one of the younger teachers teach a math class.
Teaching a math class.
Math class.
Okay.
Every single child in that room was working off of a tablet of some sort.
Really?
They were in a math class and not holding any pen or pencil. Everything was
right.
Visual online. So there was no hand-mind connection.
Wow.
Where they were actually doing math. They were just watching math.
And spiking keys. If there's even keys.
I don't even know if it went that far. And she said to the new teacher, she said, you cannot have these kids just be totally on a tablet. They have to be writing. They have to be doing the math.
Pen in hand.
Yes,
yeah.
Because that's a physical connection with your brain.
Right.
So it's not just like you're sitting there visually looking at something. If you write something,
right.
You're going to learn it. It's something about
that connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's sad. They don't play.
No one's outside playing.
Play outside. Get,
you know, cutting up their knees and stuff and getting into fights. There's none of that.
Falling off the swing, cracking your head. Come on.
Now they're on social media hoping that you'll develop some kind of a complex or something.
Also, like that's fighting in the schoolyard.
I
get
know.
Into a
3 o'clock at the bike rack.
Get
that's
into
where
a
you
good
meet.
Tussle and then your friends after. And
yeah.
You're like,
oh, you kicked my
whatever.
Ass. I kicked his ass. Whatever.
And now let's go and get some.
But these I have 5,000 friends. These are not friends. This is data. That's all it is. It's data.
Right.
No, but these kids, they think they're
kids
living.
These kids today.
I never thought I'd say that.
I'm not saying it.
Now I'm that guy.
I'm not saying it.
I just don't like these kids today. The millennials?
The millennials. No, they're not kids anymore. Millennials.
They're in their 30s, right?
Yeah.
Listen, if you're more than 20 years younger than me, you're a kid. I'm sorry. millennial. I like millennials. The millennial is the generation between millennial and Maloney.
And baloney.
Phony baloney Maloney. That's it.
Okay.
Oh, Maloney. Isn't that somebody's last name?
There was a council person named Gina Malone.
Gina Malone. Remember
was
him?
It Malone or Maloney?
I want to say Maloney now. I know it was Malone.
Is it Malone?
I like baloney.
Okay.
Because it sounds like baloney, which he's full of. That's right. I said it. That's right.
People Gino. Loved him, Gino.
I still love Gino.
I don't think he lives in Trenton anymore.
There you go. I don't like him. You hear that, Gino?
Anybody who doesn't live in Trenton, I don't like you.
I'm over you.
Yeah, done.
Listen, all you Hamiltonians, go take a flying leap in the lake or something.
Uh-oh.
Especially the former Trentonians that moved to Hamilton. What, are you a world traveler now? Listen, please. You're missing out on what Trenton is becoming. You're missing out. You want to keep dogging on it. Yeah, keep talking. Keep talking. Anyway, I'm ready now. We have a guest with us today.
I know we do.
People still come on this show.
They're crazy.
They're nuts. I met this guy. There's kind of a funny offline story, which I told you.
Okay.
We thought he was somebody else. I told you this. Anyway. I'm like, oh, that guy. Oh, okay. It's okay. His name is John Snee.
Yes.
It's a kind of a cool name.
It is.
Snee. And I think it's spelled exactly how it sounds. Yes. There's S-N and then about 37 E's.
Right.
John Snee. He runs an organization called A Million Cups. He's being I'm asking questions that he could easily answer.
And he's not.
No, he had to ruin it. Darn it.
That's okay.
We're almost there.
Why don't you just introduce him so we can talk?
I'm going to introduce him in a second. This is our show. We're in control, not John Snee.
But I want to talk to the guest.
We'll get to him. He's waiting there with bated breath. He's got his phone. He has his coffee. He's got an adorable hoodie on. All right. He's a ginger. I mean, what else we got here?
You couldn't ask for anything more.
Well, I'm not a big fan of gingers. Hopefully, he can turn me.
You don't mean that.
John Snee runs the organization A Million Cups. Mm-hmm. And when I first heard it, I'm like, what is that? I thought it was like some kind of pottery thing. I didn't know.
No, he didn't.
But we're going to get into that today with, that's right, he's in the studio with us right now from A Million Cups himself, Mr. John Snee is with us. That's right, Podcastia. Podcastia is very, 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 very excited.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm waiting for podcast. He just jumps in. Hello.
They're really going on.
They were going on for a while.
They're really happy.
They're really excited about John Snee.
I know.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. So how about yourself?
I'm doing good. You're wearing a shirt that says Trenton Makes Tech. What is that all about?
Yeah, so in terms of like 1 million cups as well. So, you know, the first thing I guess you should know about what we're doing here in Trenton is we got a couple different things going on. Basically, the hoodie that I'm wearing is the coding school that we are starting in Trenton. It'll be the very first coding school.
Like hand coding, like HTML type of stuff? Or
we'll mainly teach Python is a
really?
Yeah, so back in the day, like, you had to have a laboratory or something to invent, right? You had to be like Thomas Edison or something, mm-hmm. right? But nowadays, you don't need a laboratory. You just need a computer.
Okay.
And if you learn how to code, that's your access to the startup world.
Okay.
So that's what we're teaching. And one of the most modern coding languages is Python.
Yes.
So we are teaching Python. We're also teaching another language like React Native. So these are very modern coding languages to make apps and web-based products.
Right. What about Fortran?
Oh, Fortran.
Now I've heard of Fortran. But
can you do that? That's very complicated.
Right. That's like a very...
That's what I learned in college.
That's right up there.
Nice. And I tried to do a do loop and thought I did it and failed.
A do loop. That's right up there. That's right up there with DOS.
Oh my God, it's not for me. But that's interesting. Before we get into it, why Trenton?
My family's originally from Chambersburg. My dad was also a Trenton firefighter for 27 years here in the city. And I absolutely love Trenton. You know, it's Trenton makes world takes. But I think the problem that Trenton's been suffering from, it's been suffering from a lack of industry, right? We used to have industry here. We used to make a lot of steel and bridge suspension cables. But that industry obviously moved offshore. And now there's no industry. You know, Trenton needs something new to make. So I think our new industry will be tech and innovation, most commonly in the form of startups. Because you can see the trend, all of the smaller, like the B-level cities, they are rising up now. People are leaving the San Franciscos and the New Yorks, especially after COVID, and they're going to the Austins and like Tulsa, Oklahoma, killing it right now in tech. So I really think Trenton is next up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. That is interesting. Well, I remember pre-COVID, there was this big drive towards cities because I think people, kids, not younger people, living in the suburbs didn't want that. You know, drive to the mall, drive to the movies, drive everyone. They wanted to be in a neighborhood where they could walk and socialize that way. And then COVID happened and then everyone left the cities, but I don't think they wanted to go back to the suburbs.
Right.
So the small towns kind of fill that. And Trenton is a small town.
It is the definition of a small town.
It is a small town.
And I absolutely love it for that. But yeah, you'll see, especially with like, you know, people in the millennial class and stuff like that. They don't want to have a car. They want to be able to walk. They want to take public transit and they want to live in cities. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously like San Francisco will always be the capital of tech. Like I lived in San Francisco for about a year. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Yeah, I feel like it's the smaller cities. It's their time now.
You chose Trenton because you have a history here and you also just love the city.
Yes, I have a history here. And furthermore, I've seen the talent here firsthand.
Okay.
There is incredible energy here. And it's just not being directed in the right way. There's all this raw energy. But if you direct it in positive outlets, like creating a coding school. So that's Trenton Makes Tech. And then we have a sister company of Trenton Makes Tech called Trenton Makes Startups.
Okay.
So that's a sister company.
That's the sister company of Trenton Makes Tech. We launched them together. And Trenton Makes Startups is an accelerator program. So, and like accelerator programs are kind of a new thing. Not a lot of people know about them really. But there was something back in the day called these incubator programs.
Yes.
Yeah. So the incubators, they didn't really work out because they tried to own the startup. The incubators model was you have to work with our accountants. You can only raise money from our investors.
Oh, and that's what the issue was.
That was the issue.
Okay.
That makes sense.
That was the issue. And like it would restrict the startups from growing.
Sure.
But like there was a new kind of program created called an accelerator. And the point of an accelerator is you only give the very first initial amount of funding to a startup and then you introduce them to all kinds of networks and you let the startup grow on its own.
Oh, okay.
That's basically the shift. So that's an accelerator. You know, an accelerator is basically a venture capital firm that invests in startup companies, but it has an education component. So that's Trenton Makes Startups. And it complements Trenton Makes Tech because people can learn how to code and like become a developer if they want to. I'm not a software developer, honestly. I'm the CEO of a young startup. I've never written a line of code in my life.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm always very upfront with that.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's me.
Do you have a brick and mortar location?
Yes, we host our classes here at Basecamp.
Oh, right above you here.
Yeah, in the same building as New Pod City Podcast Studios, 247 East Front Street in Trenton, New Jersey.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So it was great to come down to this podcast. I literally just walked down the stairs.
That's convenient. Wow. That's commute. City living, right? That's yes. Trenton living.
That's nice. It's just so cool. I love that you are at Basecamp, which again is the company above the New Pod City Podcast Studio. And when we met, it was right on the heels of us hearing about 1 million cups.
Yes.
Not knowing what that was.
And I can explain that if you need.
Yeah, yeah.
So then we're in Slam and Brew, which is a fabulous new coffee shop on South Warren in downtown Trenton, right now, located right next door to the station, Tapas
Bar.
Another
new spot.
So I see him in both spots. I'm like, who's this guy bouncing around? And then I find out, oh, he wanted to. By the way, did you get your coffee, by the way? Did you get your?
Oh, yeah. Picked it up right before 1 million cups.
Oh, good.
Okay. Appreciate it. Shout out to Slam and Bruce for sponsoring.
Please explain what 1 million cups is all about.
So, like I said, we created a couple homegrown programs, but at the same time, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. So there's, like I said, I've been in the startup industry for about 7 years, so I know all the franchise programs that are out there. So 1 million cups is a franchise program. There's 160 chapters around the country of 1 million cups. When my startup was young, by the way, my startup is called U Limo, which is essentially like Uber for limousines and party buses.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I invented U Limo during my senior year of college, and I remember like right after graduating, you know, 1 million cups was there. I applied to pitch at some chapters, and that's how I became familiar with 1 million cups, which is basically just, it's a business presentation event every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m.
What do you mean business presentation? Like a pitch thing?
Specifically with 1 million cups, we're actually not allowed to say pitch because they are a foundation. They're not like a venture capital firm. They're actually very strict about that.
That 1 million cups is a foundation.
It's a foundation.
Who are you presenting it to?
Right. So you present it to the community. So 1 million cups is very much for the community. So you can, and it actually doesn't even have to be a business. It could be an organization. It doesn't have to be like a revenue generating business. So you pick a different business or organization in your town and they present to the community. And we've been getting a pretty good turnout. Our first event for 1 million cups, and like I said, it's every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Our first meeting was, we had like 16 people come out.
That's great.
We've had 3 meetings so far. We've been doing it for 3 weeks.
Okay.
Wow. That's great.
It's not like a BNI thing. It's not like business networking at 7 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Right. Exactly. It's not so much yet to like go pitch, raise funding. It's not like what it's for. It's more so just letting the community know what you do.
Okay. So, hey, we're here. If you need something like this,
that's us. Here are ours. This is what we do. Here's some of our ideal customers. Here's some of our nightmare customer type of things. You know, here's what we don't do. You're just presenting the vital stats of the company.
Right. So even if New Pod City wanted to come one Wednesday morning and present your podcast, mm-hmm. right. you could get more guests from it.
Mm-hmm. I see.
It's mainly for getting like kind of clients and stuff like that. And just like yeah. I said, letting the community know.
And we do this all over coffee.
Yeah. And that's another great way to unite the community, because a different business or like coffee or restaurant is supposed to sponsor the coffee every Wednesday. Wednesday morning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we could pick, okay. like this past Wednesday, we picked Slam and Brews to sponsor it.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right. Okay.
So they sponsored it last Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, so wow. that's 1 million cool. cups.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Where'd they get that name, 1 million cups?
It stands for like 1 million cups of coffee to spark entrepreneurship and innovation.
Oh, so it's to spark entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Well, basically to foster the entrepreneurial ecosystem in your town or city.
Just by presenting it to the community?
Yeah.
I'm not seeing how that fosters entrepreneurship.
Well, you know, theoretically, you know, if a business were to come and present, then you might be encouraged to create your own business, you uh-huh. know, and a lot of people are encouraged, even from our three meetings so far. I mean, the turnouts have been really good.
Mm-hmm. So has that been happening? Have you seen that? Like people starting their own business because of 1 million cup meetings?
Yeah. And even people that want to join those businesses and potentially work for the businesses that okay. have presented.
Yeah, no, I'm not challenging it. I'm legitimately trying to understand how that would happen. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, to be quite frank, the name is a bit hard to explain, mm-hmm. but I love the name.
I get the name right away. It's like you're having a something over a cup of coffee.
Right, and their logo is like a coffee cup or something.
I've seen it, yes. Yeah. So it's very
and,
nice.
And 1 million people are going to come?
Well, that's across the country. Yeah. It's not just in Trenton.
Listen, I don't think Slam and Brew is ready for 300. Forget 1 million.
They've had 300.
They've had 300, and it was wall to wall.
It's like a franchise.
Yeah, it's a franchise.
Yeah, okay. So it's across the country.
Yeah, okay. It's a national franchise.
Right.
They're only in America.
Do you have to buy into this franchise?
No, nope, it's completely free to start.
It's a free franchise because you don't make any money.
Exactly. And like I said, there's a couple, and there's another franchise that I can talk about as well, which you're familiar with, Startup Grind. I can also mention Startup Grind.
So you have a Startup Grind.
Right. So Startup Grind is a completely different franchise, of course, than 1 Million Cups. Startup Grind is more obviously focused on startup companies. Mm-hmm. And Startup Grind is an international franchise, 800 chapters around the world. Mm-hmm. They have Startup Grind Shanghai, Startup Grind New York, and they actually have one in Princeton as well.
Do they?
Yeah, and now we have one in Trenton.
Yeah, we do.
Yes.
And do you?
Yes. And we're on March 21st.
Right.
We are hosting our next Startup Grind event at the station. Be more like a happy hour in the evening.
This is very fascinating. Like, I have a lot of questions. I don't even know where to begin.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. Like, I just wanted to, you know, say that again. Like, I've been in the startup industry for about 7 years. I know mm-hmm. we're doing a lot. So I just... Like I said, I've been in the startup industry for 7 years, so I know all the franchise programs that are out there. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's great for us to create homegrown programs here in Trenton, but we need to bring franchise programs mm-hmm. here. Like mm-hmm. another one that I've been... Now, this is a heavy lift, mm-hmm. but to get a Techstars chapter here. Techstars is a global startup accelerator mm-hmm. where if you're accepted to Techstars, you get $120,000 for your company.
Wow.
Yeah, so if we create a Techstars Trenton Makes, that's what we... Like Tulsa, Oklahoma... just got a Techstars chapter.
Okay.
And they are, like I said, killing it right now. Mm-hmm. And you know, with Techstars, you typically need a corporate sponsor. And this is getting more into the accelerator realm, like where you do a batch of 12 companies mm-hmm. and each company gets 120K.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
that's great.
For something like that, you need a corporate sponsor. Mm-hmm. So that's honestly, you know, and for all the listeners out there, that's what I'm really working on now, because that's what we need to bring venture capital to Trenton.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's my song. I'm singing. We need money yes. to come to Trenton. Right.
Yes, we need money and we need quick money because right. like people... In a lot of places, they're used to grant funding, which is a long process.
Yes.
And it's not really geared towards startups. Like that's like if you want to make like a nonprofit and something like that, that's mm-hmm. where the grant funding comes in. But mm-hmm. for startups, like one of the most active investors in the world, they'll decide on a startup in 10 minutes if they want to invest. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. $500,000 within 10 minutes.
It's like right. Shark Tank.
Yeah, it's literally like mm-hmm. a Shark Tank. That's mm-hmm. the kind of environment we need to create here.
Right. 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 I totally agree with you. And I know grants are good, nonprofits are good, they serve their purpose, but we need for-profit businesses here because yes, they create right. opportunities, they create jobs, mm-hmm. they create the foot traffic. Then people are like, oh, I want to live downtown or right. I want to move to Trenton.
That's exactly right.
I want to live in an old brick walk-up
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and it's affordable right now.
That totally affordable. Right.
Like, right. Like if we get Techstars in Trenton, here's what they'll do. They'll take one of those abandoned factories and they'll make it into a giant innovation hub.
That'd be amazing.
That's what, and they do that in other cities. I've been to their other locations. I've been to the chapter in Italy.
Oh, really?
I got very close to getting accepted to the Italy chapter.
Really?
For U Limo.
Where in Italy? I'm just curious.
It's funny. It's actually the city that my family's from. I'm Northern Italian. Like I said, from Chambersburg.
No kidding.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. My family's from Torino.
Okay.
And that's where the Techstars chapter is. So I know them, like, you know, it's highly competitive. Like, you know, your company's got to be generating over $500,000 a month.
Wow.
You know, it's highly competitive, but I had a couple interviews with them. So maybe, you know, I'll revisit that, but I'm actually really happy that I didn't raise $1 million for U Limo previously, because it wouldn't have been as organic with Trenton. You know, it would have been, who's this rich guy coming in trying to change the city? But it's completely organic. Instead of coming in with money, I work with the local businesses in the city.
Okay. So you're 100% Italian?
Yes.
I never met a redheaded Italian.
I would have swore you
like
Irish.
It's like fiery red.
You're the poster child
Yeah, for Irish.
There's actually more.
For Dublin.
There's actually more people with red hair in Italy than Ireland.
Oh, that's stop it. Funny. That's not right. That's not
interesting.
Even true.
That's an interesting
If you go to Northern Italy, you will see a ton of people that look like me.
Yeah. Wow. Really?
Yes.
Wow.
That's so interesting.
Don't you think you're spreading yourself a little too thin? So you have the Trenton Makes Tech. You got Trenton startups. You have the 1 million cups. And now you want to go after tech stores. So what are you busy doing that's going to really start working? Seriously. What's going to be the one that's like, okay, let's focus on this because this is hopping?
Like I said, and I have a big team with me. You know, that's the big thing about
Oh, it's not just you?
Heavens, no.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the important, and I love my team. And, you know, frankly, I've met a lot of them within the past year because I started working on Trenton less than a year ago. Pretty much almost 12 months ago at this point. And I absolutely love my team. I'm always promoting and posting about my team members on LinkedIn and stuff.
Are they here at Basecamp?
Yeah, they come to Basecamp all the time.
Okay, good. I'm going to tell you something right now. You tell these people yours to stay out of my parking spot.
I know what you're going
to
say.
Stay out of my spot. It says Newport City and the one next to it. I don't care where else you go. Stay out of those spots.
Yeah.
That woman gave me attitude. She's in my spot.
She didn't give you an attitude.
She's like, oh, well, I didn't see it marked anywhere.
No, you took it. You were already you were in that place, so you
I
took
was in
it.
That place. Well, yeah. I'm from New York. You take my spot, I'm gonna come after you. I'm gonna cut you.
Yeah, you gotta tell them, you know. No, there's a ton of street parking, and we tell everyone that now, you know, because we do have a small parking lot back here.
Yeah.
Well, even text them up, hey, tell your people to stay out of my spot.
Yeah, we're gonna have to start getting a gate, you know.
Well, that gate wheels out.
It does.
Yeah.
So you came here kind of like starting from scratch.
Absolute scratch.
Okay. Now, did you already have the limo business?
Yes. I've had U Limo going for about 7 years now almost.
Okay. Oh, is that still running?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, so that's another thing he's doing.
Busy people get things done.
This is true.
Listen,
you want something done, you have to be a busy person.
Right. If Elon can do SpaceX, right and he's got X now and all this stuff. So,
That is true.
Sometimes people with ADD like me, I work better when I do multiple things instead of just one thing. But yeah, you know, in terms of U Limo, you know, it's hard to do a startup cold, you know. No matter how good your idea is, it's only your fundraising potential is like only as good as your network.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't go to Stanford or something like that. I went to University of Tampa, which is super fun.
That's all right.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not competitive, but it's really fun.
Well, you must have learned something there.
Exactly. Yeah, I studied economics there. So, but yeah, you know, if you grow up in the Bay Area or something, you could bump into an angel investor, you know. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to create like that funding ecosystem here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's primarily what I'm working on now. Trenton Makes Startups will be the first, like I said, venture capital firm where we can, you know, because Techstars, it's about $3 million to bring a Techstars program here. So like, even if we can't get that done right away, we can create our own VC firm here, which is Trenton Makes Startups.
Yeah, there you go.
So how does somebody join Trenton Makes Startups as someone who will receive a pitch for a business?
Right, exactly. So that's exactly what you do. You pitch.
Yeah, but how does somebody join it on your end?
Oh, you mean to be like a managing partner or something?
Or to be someone that says, you know what, this is a good idea.
Right.
Let's do this.
you got to be in with us. You know, we attract great entrepreneurs just by creating that entrepreneurial startup ecosystem.
Right,
we naturally attract great entrepreneurs. So one of my top people that I'm closest to, Lindsay Cottespotti, she is one of our managing partners for Trenton Makes Startups. And she is like ex-LinkedIn. She used to work at like big corporate position at LinkedIn. Right, like she is not playing around. Lindsay's great. So yeah, she's one of the closest people to me right now. You know, in terms of just getting the funding, because to create a VC firm, you have to have a limited partner. You have to have like an LP to back it. I honestly became familiar with a lot of this stuff recently myself. But you know, like that's what we're working on, getting like a Johnson & Johnson or something to be our LP for our VC. But we need a commitment from like a Johnson & Johnson, like, you know, $500,000 yearly commitment that we can break up into, say, a batch of 10 startups.
Well, explain to podcast here real quick what you mean by an LP and a VC.
An LP trusts the VC to spend their money on various startups. That's, and then because the LP doesn't have the time to interview and vet startups, that's the job of the VC partners. And typically the VC puts in a fraction of a very, very small fraction of the investment funding for each startup. You know, just to show that the LP that they have some skin in the game. But that's how you create a VC.
Okay, so LP is limited partner.
Yeah, and the LP funds the VC, which invests in startups and runs the startup accelerator.
And VC stands for?
Venture capital. Technically, I should be saying VC firm.
People were into it. They get it. I mean,
I want to be clear.
Oh, no, no. That's totally. I'm sure there are some people in podcasts here that are like, hey, we know what that means. Keep going.
But furthermore, with that, it's great to just, you know, come and just kind of talk about that VC funding environment, you know, because a lot of people don't know what that's like. So,
yeah, I think that what's cool is like when you talk about doing this in Trenton, it's like a whole new world for a lot of people, because for the most part, I think a lot of people, you know, they go to high school. Maybe they go to college, then they go to get a job, probably not related to anything that they did in college, just to, you know, pay the bills and or get out of mom and dad's house. And the thought of all of this, like someone would invest in my idea. It doesn't mean that they don't have ideas, and it doesn't mean that they don't have these dreams, but it's just like, this is the route that a lot of people take for quote unquote security, which is not secure. And I think it's a cool thing to introduce this new world. It's like opening up people's eyes, like, what? You mean someone would invest in my idea? My idea would really, you know, it's very refreshing to hear.
Yeah. When, like I said, when I first met Lindsay, I met her through somebody else because we were hosting events, you know, pitch events and whatnot. And that's how I met her. And when I first met her, she needed some reassurance that she was doing the right thing, you know, and that's one of the biggest value propositions that we can provide as a startup accelerator, as a venture capital firm, just to reassure those first time founders that they are on the right path. Because Lindsay quit her job at LinkedIn cold.
Wow.
Yeah, she's bad. Like, she's in a good way.
But she's had to have seen the value in what she was doing. She just wanted that confirmation to know she was doing the right thing, like you're saying.
Exactly. And a lot of founders, they think of ideas after they've had a job, after they've, you know, worked in corporate America, or, you know, in my case, you know, I've had a lot of 9-to-5 jobs to support myself while I was growing my startup. But, you know, I thought of my startup during university. You know, me and my friends, we would study all week long, take a test typically every week. Then on the weekends, we would go out and party, right? And you guys have probably gone through this as well. A lot of people have. When you have a big group of people, you have to split up into multiple Ubers.
Right.
And your group gets split up and it really sucks.
That's right. Yeah.
So, but at the same time, if you try to rent a limo or a bus, the limo and bus industry is so outdated. You have to call local companies. There's not an on-demand app like Uber. And then you have to pay like $1,000 for 5 hours. Nobody wants to do that.
Right.
You know, they want one-way trips just like Uber. So that's what Ulimo is. We developed the first app, rideshare app, where you can share the party bus or the limo ride with other people in your college.
That is so cool.
Because
we went through both of those things. We went through the limo, we went through the bus. The bus that we had to take us to Philadelphia, we took the network on the cruise, the dinner cruise. It was great, but the whole rigmarole of getting it going.
Oh my God.
They were very nice. They were great. Very helpful. But again, it is an antiquated system.
Yeah,
like you have to let them know how many people are going to, you know, the whole, and then they have to, the driver just sits there.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
It's a very outdated model. It's just one of those industries that needs to be disrupted. It was like the hospitality industry, say, before the hotel apps, before Airbnb. You know, Airbnb was highly disruptive to hospitality.
Oh, yes.
In a good way.
Yeah. For us anyway.
Exactly.
But yeah, so it's like the limo industry, you know, Ulimo will be the Uber of the limo and bus industry. It'll be the Airbnb of the limo and bus industry.
So you've been doing U Limo for 7 years?
Yeah, 7 years now, pretty much.
And you've been out of college for 7 years, or this?
I graduated in 2017.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Did COVID affect you at all?
Well, U Limo was young. Mm-hmm. U Limo was really young during COVID. So it didn't really affect us, frankly.
Tell me how it works.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are working on launching our rideshare product, because that's the main part of U Limo, the rideshare. That's the disruptive part.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's because with our rideshare product, you can be one person and get on a bus or a limo for $10 instead of $1,000.
Yeah.
Wow. So but you got to share it with somebody.
You have to share it, but it's typically other people in your general network. Like, you know, for the rideshare product initially to start with, we require that you authenticate it with your student email. So when we release the app to the mass public, you will have to authenticate it with your student email to access rideshare.
What if you're not a student?
Right. So there will be ultimately two versions of our rideshare product, one for everyone else and then one for students.
I love this because this is about being really social. Because if you're one or two people and you get on a bus and there's five people already on the bus, you're going to talk to each other.
It's incredible.
And then you're going to get to know each other. Maybe you'll start hanging out with each other. It's just more social than anything that I've seen, like, in the media area.
Yeah, and we've run test pilots on it.
Okay.
On our ride, and it was like a movie where there's just lines and lines of kids waiting to get on the bus. It's the most incredible networking environment you could think of.
Like, that's amazing. That's
making
great
new friends, you know, especially for freshmen, a new kid that just got to college. He doesn't know anyone, or she doesn't know anyone. You know, you can make friends on the U Limo bus.
Gotcha. Now, I'm going to go the other way with it. Let's say I have a group of 15 people with me, and we want to take a bus or a limo to Philadelphia from here. They're all meeting me at the studio, and we're going to go, boom. How does that work?
Right. So we're getting into deep rideshare tech now. So
deep rideshare tech. Who knew there was even such a thing? Thank God.
Rideshare.
John Snee is here with us.
Who are you?
Rideshare is a whole science, you know, and to even, you know, build a rideshare platform from scratch is not something we are going to do. You can integrate.
No, but U Limo would be the ones to know how to do this, I would think.
Right, exactly. But here, my point is that there's other companies that you can integrate with, because to make a rideshare platform it's a whole science. So there's some companies like Via. They're strictly just a company just to white label their rideshare technology.
I was going to say, are they a white label company?
They're a white label
company. Okay, that's not what you did, though.
No, because, well, U Limo, we have our MVP, our minimum viable product right now, so it's not like Uber yet.
Is that what MVP stands for, in the U Limo world?
Yeah. Okay,
in the tech world.
Right, that's a big thing in the tech world, you know, especially to get funding. You got to get your MVP out there so investors can see and play with something.
Sure, that's something to look at, yeah. Okay.
That's the thing for a lot of founders, right? Okay. And honestly, just on a side note, AI is really bridging the gap between people needing to create their MVPs.
I have it written down here. That was my next branch of where I was going with that. So
for sure,
you have to use some kind of like facilitating or fulfillment network like Via that works behind, in this case, we'll say U Limo. Correct?
Right.
And that would get me the help I would need to transport 15 people to Philly if I needed to.
Right, exactly. So we're not integrating with Via yet. We have an MVP, which is basically a very early on version of our product. So basically what we have is time slots that you can book at. Mm-hmm. And it's a standard route that it goes. So it's not dynamic yet like Uber. You won't see the bus on a map coming to your house.
Oh, okay.
So it's not fully, you know, version 2 yet.
That is very satisfying to see that.
It will be someday.
Yeah.
When we launch our version 2, but we need to raise $1 million, you know, like it is a lot to build that.
$1 a cup.
Mm-hmm. Right. $1 a cup. But yeah, so, you know, we've built what we can with the funding that we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and like we ran test pilots on it and it was explosive. Mm-hmm. Like I said, crazy. Yeah. Our Instagram's insane.
It's a great model to use in schools because it's a perfect niche.
That is great.
Niche there.
That's our beachhead market.
Yeah, good
That's
start.
That's really great. Cool.
Good starting place. Were you always entrepreneurial?
I've always been entrepreneurial. I just didn't know that I would be an entrepreneur or a startup founder. If you told me when I was 12 years old that I would be an inventor someday, I would have told you you're crazy. There's no way that I could get paid for doing something this fun.
Mm-hmm.
I would have never, not in my wildest dreams, but now like it's great because like the startup industry, like it's cool to have a startup now. It's the startup industry is bigger than ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the day, you had to be like a nerd to have like a startup tech company. But with Airbnb, really cool company, Uber, super cool.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like the coolest thing you can do to have a startup company.
Right.
And
right.
Anybody can really do it, right?
Yes.
You just have to have the idea and be able to direct your path. And what's cool is like that's something that you guys do, right? You kind of help people.
Exactly.
That would be the million cup model.
Well, That would be more like Trenton Makes Startups.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, the incubator, you know, we can introduce, like, say you don't want to go through the Trenton Makes Tech Coding School. You, like me, mm-hmm. I don't code, and I'm probably never going to code. That's just not me. I'm like that very much like CEO kind of personality. So we will have software developers that you can work with. We already have them. So yeah, you know, to develop your MVP and stuff like that. But that's the thing. And like, even going back to, you know, the new wave of AI coming out, right? It's bridging the gap between founders who don't code and their ability to create products, because mm-hmm. now it's all about knowing how to communicate with the AI, because it'll code an app for you. Mm-hmm.
Do you still see people creating, for lack of a better term, brick and mortar businesses? It's a lot easier to create something that's a little more virtual, but do you still see that having a viable space?
Absolutely. World? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially, you know, like, I definitely think there's still a space for it, especially in emerging markets like Trenton, you mm-hmm. know, for a great example, Slam and Brews. Mm-hmm. Slam and Brews is going to, it will be a very successful business.
I agree.
Absolutely. So I think there's definitely still a space for it.
Because I have an idea, but I'm not going to say it on the air.
Yeah, we'll take that off air. But another one of the things that you said about, can anybody do it? I believe so. But there's something about an entrepreneur, not a business owner, an entrepreneur. There's a difference. A lot of people don't even know what that word means anymore. They use it in all the wrong cases.
Yes.
But is the discipline. You need to have that. There's something about an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. They have a discipline. They will not stop until yes, the thing right. works, or if they've exhausted the idea.
Right. And lots of failing.
A lot of failure. There's no endurance. They can't mm-hmm. stay consistent. They, you know.
So you have to be able to fail and do it again and fail right. and do it again and have everyone tell you you're crazy, I'm sure.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I won't even say fail. I'll just say find a lot of ways that don't work.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Fail has that negative thing, in, right. you know. So, mm-hmm. but really it's the passion. How passionate are you for this idea of yours? Mm-hmm. And if you're so passionate where it gets you up in the morning, mm-hmm. you will stop at nothing to make this thing work. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you got to be tough as an entrepreneur. And to be quite frank, I don't even like using the word entrepreneur because it does have a negative stigma, just like the word fail. I truly love the word inventor.
Okay.
That is what I truly, even before I knew I would be one, that's who I've always been.
That has a very steampunk sound to it.
I know, like a guy with like a glam, you know.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's so interesting. And this is honestly something we teach in our course. The word inventor, when you think of the word inventor, what do you think of? Like Thomas Edison.
Benjamin Franklin. Right.
Okay. So that is where the word inventor originally came from, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But back in the day, the majority of inventions were physical during the Industrial Revolution, mm-hmm. right?
Right?
Okay, so that's why you think of Tom Edison, Nikola Tesla, people like that.
Sure.
Right.
But what is a startup? A startup is disruptive. Mm-hmm. It is an invention. It's right. a yes. digital invention.
Okay.
So we are inventors. Startup founders are inventors. Hmm. It's just the majority of inventions are digital nowadays.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I can see that.
Who was it, that guy, that spaceman that you like?
The spaceman that I like?
Yeah.
Elon Musk?
No.
Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Didn't he say?
He's so great. That guy is great. The spaceman. That's what you call it. I love that. Hey, Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you're listening, my wife refers to you as the spaceman.
He was saying that inventions back then disrupted society because he said the invention of the tractor completely shut down the business of the farrier, the stable, the groomer,
sure.
all those people that took care of horses.
Yep.
In an instant, that business kind of
wiped out.
I mean, there's still horses and people use them for pleasure, but not a lot of people use them for plowing their field or going down to the town or whatever. That's the perfect example of what you were saying, like Airbnb, like just disrupted, like totally.
Crazy.
When I think of staying in a hotel, I'm like, oh, we can't find an Airbnb. We can stay.
Yeah, seriously.
In an Airbnb.
It's much more fun.
Hotels are so limited.
Like a friend of mine who would never have thought of investing in real estate to make money out of like that. She's rocking it. She was so nervous. I'm like, it's beautiful. They're going to love it. She's like, I'm booked every weekend. I'm like, amazing.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
She cuts hair. That's what she does.
She's just done all her life. And it's just, she sees like, there's this like, I'm not going to have to do this when I'm like 70. I'm not going to have to be standing here. Not that she hates it, but you know, she wants that freedom. And that's what I think is very cool.
It's crazy how technology can change things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the story of Airbnb, they had a lot of problems, you know, when they were young.
Yeah.
They got turned down by investors all the time. They have a story. An investor left in the middle of a conversation when they were talking one time, like just crazy stuff. I mean, these two guys, they were two friends that created it. And there was a design conference in San Francisco. And in the beginning of Airbnb, you had to sleep on an air mattress.
Really?
Yeah, because it was called Air Bed and Breakfast.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's where the air came from.
Yes.
I always thought it had something to do with online.
That's what I thought, like it was in the cloud, you know?
Right. Oh, in the beginning, you had to sleep on an air mattress in someone's house. But then, like, you know, they started talking to other business partners, and they're like, all right, let's just, like, open it up to people's, like, homes or whatever. You know? Like,
it doesn't have to be an air mattress. But they kept the name.
Wow.
But they kept the name.
It works.
Airbnb. And people use it like it's, like, they haven't even, I never knew that.
Yeah.
But it's just, Airbnb, it just sounds like something like you said, like in the cloud.
Yeah, and the beginning of Airbnb, too, people were very skeptical about it. They were like, you're going to let strangers sleep in other strangers' homes? That's crazy. But, you know, when you create that standardized app.
Great. That is so great.
Oh, this is exciting. I'm so glad you're here in our city.
Yeah.
I really am, because the guest we had on last week, he got so passionate about the city. He's like, we have so many great things here. And people don't realize it. We need people to come and invest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Money.
Yes, like, for sure. Because the energy's here.
Yes.
Like, believe me, it's not me. It's the city. It's all of us.
I totally agree.
You know, I wouldn't be able to do this if it wouldn't be this successful this fast. Mm-hmm. I mean, the rate of how we've been going is quite crazy here. But yeah, there's all this raw energy here.
Are you doing anything for younger people, like young adults or high school kids or anything like that?
Absolutely. So Trenton Makes Startups, we have a course that we teach, and we are getting contracts now to go teach it in high schools.
Great.
So for all the listeners out there, if you know the superintendent of a high school and you would like to employ or, you know, incorporate some startup curriculum in there.
That'd be great.
We have the Trenton Makes Startups, which is the startup curriculum, and then Trenton Makes Tech, we have a coding curriculum.
That's amazing. That's really good. Because again, that system needs to be disrupted.
Yeah, right, exactly. They don't teach entrepreneurship in schools.
No. Well, we always make the joke is like you go to take a business class and the person teaching you has a job.
Right. And like that was the biggest thing for me growing up too, because like I was average at best at school. I was just another bird, like average at best, you know? Mm-hmm. I didn't shine. My big thing is like, you know, if there was a passionate entrepreneur to inspire me when I was younger, how many more inventions could I have created, you know, even before I was 18 or something?
Right,
so
right.
We need more inventing in schools.
Right. Inventing. Okay.
Well, here's a fun fact. The word entrepreneur is actually a French word, which means contractor.
Okay.
That's where we get that word from.
Okay. It's a French word. Entrepreneur.
Like my mother would say entrepreneur. I'm like, Ma, pronounce the things right.
I think she's pronouncing it the French way, I think.
Don't let her know that.
I
needs to know she's right about something.
Right. How do people start with you? What is their first step? How do they begin?
Yep, we have an application on our website. If you Google Trenton Makes Startups, you'll find our website, and we have our application right there.
Okay, great. My last question is, when you think of Trenton, what does your dream Trenton look like?
Like I said, Trenton needs something new to make, so we will bring back the meaning of Trenton Makes World Takes in a new light, where I think you'll find some unicorn companies coming out of here. A unicorn company is a company that goes from zero to over $1 billion valuation, just like Airbnb. Mm-hmm. I think the next Airbnb will come from Trenton.
Awesome.
Oh, I like that.
Ooh, I got the chills.
The next Airbnb will come from Trenton.
Amen.
I definitely think so.
Very cool.
Me too.
Well, John Snee, would you like to hang around for a little something we call plugs?
Sure.
Trenton Waves Plugs. Hey, Podcastia, let's see what this guest has to plug.
Trenton Waves, TrentonWaves.com. Visit us on all social media platforms, including but not limited to Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, X. I almost said Twitter.
Oops.
Sorry, Elon. And LinkedIn? Did I leave one out? Wait a minute. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, X, TikTok. I want to say Twitter. I'm saying it as X.
Okay.
Hey, Elon Musk, you're really messing me up with the syllables, man. Went from two syllables to one in like one shot. Not even a word. It's a letter. X. Okay.
He's being disruptive.
He is being disruptive with an existing thing.
Disrupting the hell out of it.
Yes. So March is Women's History Month, and there's a lot of things going on in the city. Too numerous to mention, so I challenge you or advise you.
To call Ray Ingram. Here's his phone number.
No, call Ray Ingram. I suggest that you go on Instagram and check out Downtown Trenton Association,
yes,
the Public Library, the Trent House. All these places are doing things specifically geared to Women's History Month in the month of March.
So, John Snee, where can people find you? Where can people see you? Where can people know you? Where can they go online to visit all things John Snee?
Very first off, we have the Trenton Makes X handle, formerly Twitter.
So
now
the platform formerly known as Twitter.
We have the Trenton Makes. We're Trenton Makes on X, and you can find us on Instagram at Trenton Makes Startups, our coding school at Trenton Makes Tech. And then, of course, our website if you Google Trenton Makes Startups.
Okay. The old-fashioned way.
The old-fashioned.
How do they find out about anything happening with 1 Million Cups?
So if you follow Trenton Makes Startups on Instagram, that's like our main Instagram. We have all of our other accounts listed in the bio there. So it's quite easy for people to find it all. But yeah, we're always posting about it. You could just come to a 1 Million Cups event. It's every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. here at Base Camp Trenton, 247 East Front Street.
Cool.
And our next Startup Grind event will be on the 21st of this month at the new Station Tapas and Bar.
At 6 o'clock, right?
Oh, yes, at 6 o'clock.
I got to spoon feed this guy. He's the CEO. He's running 6,000 companies. He can't get a freaking address out.
He knows where he's going. That's it.
The station.
And you could always just go to our Startup Grind page, and it's all there.
Yeah. Okay.
The Station Tapas and Bar, March 21st, 6 o'clock.
At
you
night.
You go in there. Well, yeah, it's going to be 6 a.m. Good Lord. I don't need Paola cursing me up a new one.
Oh.
So you go there at 6 o'clock and you visit, you get to meet John Snee in person, you get his autograph, you get a picture with him.
Taste some good food.
And you meet some great startup founders.
Yes.
And some great startup inventors.
Also, I just wanted to shout out Ray Ingram. Thanks. A big shout out to Ray Ingram. We got the computers for the coding school from TDI.
Oh, good for you.
Ray had to pull some strings there and twist some arms. Don't mess with Ray.
I know. No. He's dangerous.
He's great. He comes to all of our events.
Of course he does. Of course. Because he has to be in the know, that guy.
Love Ray.
Listen to me. We're here 21 years. We still can't get him on the show. He won't come on.
I know.
I think he's afraid.
He's not afraid. He's elusive.
No, I think he's afraid. No, John Hatch is elusive. John Hatch was on twice.
Okay.
I think I'm starting to love him a little more than you now.
I doubt it.
Okay. Anyway, John Snee, it was a pleasure having you here. Podcasting is very excited. I could already tell.
I'm excited.
You're very excited.
I'm very excited. Everyone's excited. See, like, the possibilities.
See the vision.
Yeah. Yes.
John Snee is finally here in Trenton.
Thank God.
He's going to turn the whole thing around.
Like Washington.
Exactly. And this has been, he's a modern day Washington. This has been yet another episode of Trenton Waves.
Sasso's out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at TrentonWaves.com.